You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. I'm here with Javier Rodriguez from Madrid, Spain. Javier is going to talk to us about his sight loss and hearing loss story. Hi Javier, thank you for coming on to RNIB Connect Radio. How are you?
Hi Jennifer, thank you for inviting me on.
Can you tell me a little bit about your sight loss and when you were first diagnosed? I also understand that you're hearing impaired. Is your hearing impairment and sight loss linked in any way?
My sight condition is thought to be from birth. As a baby, my family members realized I had nystagmus. I mean, when your eyes go a bit wobbly sometimes and you don't really notice it. And the reason for this, apparently, is retinal dystrophy, possibly an inherited one. This affects both my central and peripheral vision. My eye condition includes color blindness and short-sightedness. Additionally, as you've said earlier, I've got hearing loss as well. Before the age of 4, everyone told me I could hear very well. A few years ago, I had a genetic test carried out at a hospital here in Madrid, and they told me I may have Usher syndrome. Apparently my case doesn't fit any of the three main types of Usher syndrome currently identified. So I'm supposed to have an atypical type of Usher syndrome, mainly because I haven't got retinitis pigmentosa.
What type of support did you get or do you get to help you with your sight loss?
From an early age, I was taken to a few doctors to try and identify what was going on with both my sight and my hearing. In 1995, when I was 9 years old, I was accepted into the Spanish National Organization of the Blind. It's usually referred to by the acronym ONCE, written like the English word once. There I was seen by a few members of staff, including a low vision practitioner, who provided me with some very useful technical equipment, such as a bookrest, a magnifying glass, and a small handheld monocular for looking at the board. At university, ONCE provided me with a few Zoom text licenses for free, so that I could use the software not only at home, but also on campus. Additionally, a specialist teacher from ONCE would visit me at the school once or twice a year to check how things were going, try to fix any problems, and make school teachers aware of my special needs. These visits were unfortunately not frequent enough, and some teachers were not interested at all when getting any advice from teachers from ONCE. At secondary school, I had many difficulties, especially with exams, because I wasn't able to complete all the tasks in the time given. Nobody, including ONCE staff, told us that, according to the law, I was eligible for reasonable adjustments in school exams. My mother found out by chance, when looking for information online, about the university entrance examination. This is the Spanish equivalent to A-levels and Scottish Highers. Then it was too late for school exams. But luckily, it wasn't for my entrance exams. Basically, I could benefit from a separate room, extra time, and a large print copy. Apart from exams, I had quite a few issues with certain subjects, especially physical education and sport, but also with art, music, and computing. Apparently, all this stuff didn't know how to help. My parents decided to talk to the school inspector of the area because I was having a really hard time at PE. I was asked to jump forward and sideways over a bench, and I couldn't possibly play football or any other team games. The only reasonable adjustment I got was to write long essays by hand on game rules and PE theory. That took me a lot of time to do, and eventually I got a full exemption from the subject. That exemption was only valid for the last year of compulsory secondary education. Regarding my hearing loss, my parents had to buy my hearing aids privately. For school, the Department for Education lent me an FM system. It was rather old and used to break down occasionally. The problem was I had to wait 1 or 2 months to get it fixed because there weren't any replacement units. I was so desperate that my parents decided to buy an up-to-date FM system. Apart from that FM system, I also needed prescription glasses and contact lenses, as well as an electronic handheld magnifier. Neither my school nor any public body provided me with any help in relation to my sight loss. Everything was thanks to Once.
What hobbies and interests do you have, and what do you like to do to keep yourself busy during your free time?
I like doing rather relaxing things. For example, I enjoy going for long walks through the city. I also like going to parks. I prefer going around the city and look at the facades of some of the many beautiful buildings we've got here in Madrid. I also like watching TV and videos on my computer. What I enjoy the most is watching comedy films, especially in English and German. I really enjoy listening to radio podcasts as well. Preparing and giving English lessons keeps me quite busy too. It's quite demanding at times, but it's very rewarding.
You lived in the UK quite some time ago now. Can you touch upon this experience?
I've been to the UK quite a few times. In summer 2008, I had the opportunity to spend 3 weeks with a host family in Manchester. The lady of the house was my private teacher. I learned quite a lot, not only about the language, but also what life is like in the UK. I went back to the same place in 2010 and spent a whole month with them. Later, between September 2011 and June 2012, I did an Erasmus exchange at Roehampton University in London. I stayed in a shared flat with some native speakers from England and South Africa. A charming lady in her 80s lived in the flat and rented 2 bedrooms. I got on very well with her and I really enjoyed the experience. In summer 2013, I was invited by this lady to stay for a couple of weeks. I'd also like to say I found the UK a very disabled-friendly country. In my personal experience, a good bit more than Spain. Just to mention a few examples, I was helped very kindly by both the disability office and the accommodation office at Roehampton University to find a suitable place to stay off campus. They also assigned me a professional note taker to help me in all my lessons, which was absolutely great. I was also given a tour around campus by one of the members of the disability office. Also, a mobility instructor from an independent charity came to show me around the neighborhood. That was extremely useful for me because that man showed me how the cones of traffic lights worked. In terms of my hearing loss, I also found many induction loops for hearing aid users at supermarket checkouts and also in churches. London Underground sent me by post a large print copy of a map of the network.
What advice would you give to people currently going through hearing loss or sight loss?
Basically, I would say it is very important to try and keep informed of everything you may be eligible to. I mean, what rights you may have, and ask different people at different institutions or organizations to keep well informed. Unfortunately, not everybody providing advice is well informed. That's my personal experience. The information is out there, but not always accessible, easy to find, or even easy to understand. I think that's vital.
Thanks, Javier, for coming on to R&IB Connect Radio.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for R&IB Connect Radio.